The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
And wherever you are, go ahead and share tonight's episode with someone, with a friend. And if you're driving in your car, let someone know where they can hear TMG.
It's time to get on board. TMG is taking off.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody! Welcome to a brand new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys, real quick, do me a favor. Don't forget to visit, share, subscribe, and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, this episode is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And I'm so happy that each and every one of you decided to join the show today. Whether you are listening or watching for your very first time, or maybe you say, well, Travis, man, I've been watching and listening to your show ever since you've been streaming. Let me take this time, this moment, let me take this opportunity to tell you something. Thank you. I appreciate everything that you're doing. I appreciate your continued support. I appreciate your listening and streaming in on your favorite streaming platform, whether it's Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, or wherever. Thank you so much. And whether you're listening here in the United States or somewhere around the world, maybe it's in the Philippines, maybe it's in Japan, maybe it's in South Africa, maybe it's in South America, maybe it's in Portugal, maybe it's in Spain, maybe it's in the UK, maybe it's in Trinidad and Tobago, wherever you are listening to the show, thank you so much. I'm glad that you are here. Guys, today's episode really got me to thinking about myself and choices and things. And many of you get to think about myself. Have you ever had those things that really just make you take a second look at yourself? Yeah, today's episode did that for me. Guys, we're going to dive into this. But before we do, everybody knows a couple things about this show. Everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on the show, drop us an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And you say, well, Travis, I didn't hear you. What is that email address? tellmesomething21@gmail.com. It's, well, Travis, I know someone that has an amazing story, and they would be a great guest on your show. But I don't want to come on a show, man. I'm a little camera shy. Drop us that email with their information. tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And guess what? You could even remain anonymous if you'd like. Guys, I want to go ahead and play our information from our by our affiliate sponsors. I want to get that out the way because I cannot wait to get into this show. Don't go anywhere. I know you're just joining. Come on in. And if you're just listening, you've tuned into the right place. The TMG. We're streaming good.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online, sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed, sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to...
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. Well, how can I do that, Travis? The information is right below. It's in the chat. And if you're not watching that, you can actually see, listen up, where that information will be provided to you just a little bit later. Guys, I'm so excited about today's episode, and you have been waiting patiently about today's episode. Guys, today's episode, if you did not catch it, is a pen and a pad. Yeah, a pen and a pad. I know you're probably wondering where in the world I'm going with that. Let me just kind of start and put it this way. I'm showing this video of someone drawing, making this drawing with a pen on a pad. And I got to admit something to you guys. I really have to admit, I've never been much of a drawer, of a person who could draw. I could draw some, but I've never been very much of an artist, an artistic creature where I could draw. But I could always write. I discovered that I could write and that I enjoyed writing. I enjoyed it because I was able to, it helped me put my thoughts on paper. Whenever things were kind of confusing in my mind, I was able to put things down on paper and express how I felt and express my imagination. But I gotta admit, I've always been amazed when I see the things that our imaginations can create with something as simple as a pen and a piece of paper or a pencil. And whether it is a drawing or a good story, I'm always left in complete shock and awe, because I often wonder, how in the world that when in the right hands, a blank piece of paper and a pen can bring so much to life and spark change. There is something special about each of us. And today, we're talking about those things that each of us have that can help us leave a mark or leave our mark behind. Guys, do me a favor. I want you to give a huge TMG welcome for our very special guest, author Milla Johansson. Milla, what's up? How you doing?
Great. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here, and I love your energy.
Thank you, Milla. You're happy to be here. I'm happy that you are as well. Milla, I'm so, so glad that you took the time or you dipped into your schedule and decided to join us here on TMG today. So glad.
Well, yes. I would always make time for you, Travis. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Love it. I love that. Milla, you and I, we had a wonderful conversation prior to the show. I know, and I meet with all my guests prior to the show, and you and I had a very special conversation. I enjoyed it. we shared some wonderful and amazing things that came out before the show. And I enjoyed all the wonderful things that we talked about. And a lot of people here, they did not join that conversation, Miller. They didn't hear what we talked about. So do me a favor, if you don't mind, before we dive into everything, please briefly introduce yourself to everyone that's watching and that's listening, and let everyone know what it is what you do and who you are.
Well, I'm a writing, publishing, and public speaking coach, and I was partially raised by my very famous grandmother, who taught public speaking to Eleanor Roosevelt and thousands of other women. And later in life, she took me along when she was in her early 90s, and she spoke all the time as the elder suffragette with Gloria Steinem and Marla Thomas. And she was the first woman lobbyist at the Capitol. She put together the Pulitzer School of Journalism. She did all these wonderful things. And I put her book, she died, you know, some years ago, but I put her book together, From Cowgirl to Congress, recently, and it came out in time for the 100th anniversary of women winning the right to vote in America in 1918, August 18th, 1920. And so anyway, you know, we just all voted, and a lot of that reason is because of my grandmother.
Wow, that is amazing. First of all, right here is that your grandmother was an actual that she pulled the path for individuals today, so that women today that are participating in an election, voting, and not just voting, but running for president here in the United States. So she helped do that. So I'm so excited to be joined by someone who contributed to actual real history. That is so freaking cool, Miller. How do you feel about that? How does that, how does that make you feel when you see people exercising their civil rights or their civil privileges to vote, knowing that you're one of them, and you haven't had her hand in that? How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, I with her, she took me around and she gave me my life and saved me from a dire childhood in a lot of ways. And this is her book. This is a picture of her. I brought her into the modern age doing a Andy Warhol thing. And, you know, we don't realize how lucky we are to vote in America. 16 states actually gave women the right to vote before 1920. But in England, they didn't get the right to vote till 1928. I hope you're sitting down. Oh, I see you are. But in Switzerland, women did not get the right to vote until 1971. So it's a very precious thing that we get to vote. I mean, even men, you know, everybody had to fight for the right to vote. And women are probably the most marginalized population in the world, because it's been going on since like ancient Egypt, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Women, and this is not a play, but women have always, I would say, seen a second class citizen. And I'm saying not of a state, but of the world. They've always had that role where their job or their role was to be the homemaker. Your job is to go inside the house and be the parent and the mother. You raise those children, you feed those children, you have the husband's food ready when he comes home, and you do these things as because you are a woman. This is just your defined role, and you can't go outside this role because society has said this is your defined role. And women have said, wait a minute, no, that's not true. That's not right. I live in this, not just in this country, because this is a global thing. I'm part of this world. I'm part of this planet. I'm part of this earth. And I have just as much right to have some say-so as the next male or the next individual. Yeah. And I should be able to speak because my voice won't be silenced again. And what I hear is your grandmother, she tapped into that and she realized that hey, I'm not going to be doing that. So I heard you were a speaker, you're author, you're a writer, all these fabulous things. Now, I heard some things in there, Mila. I heard some things in there, so I got to ask you this. I heard some stuff. So you said your grandmother helped save you from a childhood that probably wouldn't have been very favorable for you. So, and then you started writing all these things, but what factors, before we dive into all those things, what factors, if any, contributed to your passion for writing and speaking?
I have a little story to tell you. I saw Mary Poppins when I was 8. That really dates me.
I saw Mary Poppins!
Yeah. I love it. The first one. So we came home, and I locked myself in my room, and I drew chalk drawings because I thought, I can jump into the magical world of penguins and merry-go-rounds and flowers. And I'm not a very good drawer. I can't even draw stick people now, so they were probably pretty bad. But I closed my eyes, and I still believe, I'm tingling all over, that I could jump into the painting and I would be transported to that world. Well, I tried about 8 times, and it didn't happen. So what happened was, I said, well, if I can't jump into the world through the chalk painting, maybe I could write a book. And I wanted to write a book like Wizard of Oz, or we were reading Nancy Drew back then. And so I started writing a book, and I wrote 8 pages, and then I quit because I was 8. And from then on, I knew I wanted to be a writer. And when I was 18, my mother tricked me into becoming a writer. She said, Mila, write 1 sentence a day for a month. And I go, I can write 1 sentence a day, but you can't because it's like potato chips. You have to write more. And I would write a page and a half, 2 pages. And by the end of the month, I was a writer. And she tricked me. And now, as I teach and coach people, I trick them. I say 20 minutes a day, or maybe even 5 minutes a day will add up to a book. And then people go, Mila, I tried 5 minutes. I had to write more.
I like that. And that's true. 1 potato chip. Give me just 1. I want just 1 chip. No, 1 chip. Like, no one, when you ask someone who has a bag of potato chips, no one that I know walks up to someone with a bag of potato chips, tasty, delicious, crunchy, crispy potato chips, flavored, seasoned just right, say, give me just 1 potato chip. No, they say, give me some. Or they pour some in your hand. No one wants just 1 chip. So I like that. And if you're like me, Mila, the best chips are always at the very end of the bag.
With all the salt.
Everything is at the end of the bag. The best. So what I'm saying to anybody out there who's been dreaming of doing and starting anything, and you think you're too old, you think time has passed you, your best is yet to come. Baby, you're just at the end of the bag. I know they thought your life was over. They said you made this poor choice, you made that poor choice, you've been in bankruptcy, you've had 5 divorces, you've had all these things go on in your life that says your bag is empty. But baby, it is always the chips at the end of the bag that are the most tasty. It's always the chips at the end of the bag that are the crispiest. You haven't seen the best that's inside of you yet. The best is yet to come. I told you, Mila, this was going to be good.
Good analogy. I really like that. You know, another thing I had when I was a kid, I had all these superpowers. And one of them was believing, and another one was my imagination, which didn't make my teachers happy, but I was imagining become a writer. And the only thing I ever learned in high school was typing, because it was, kinesthetic. And now I can type 75 words a minute, not accurate. But what happened, can I tell a quick little story about my believing when I was 8?
Absolutely.
You will love the story. When I was 8, we were driving down the street, freeway to church every week, and there was an A-frame home, a cabin, and it was a model for somebody selling it. So I looked at it and I loved it, and I went, it's so different from our tract homes. I want that home. And one day there was a sign that said open house, and I begged my mother to stop, and she did, and I ran all the way through the house, and I ran out on the front porch, and I said, I'm going to go get this help. For some reason, at 8 years old, I thought I could go in the neighborhood and mow some lawns or something and come back and make, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get this house. And, of course, I didn't get it, but I still believed, because that's my superpower. And so just in the last 12 years, my father-in-law wanted to move in with us. And we love him because we've always lived with him and worked with him. And so he paid for half of our house being built on this hill. And one day I went below the hill to pick some lavender, and I looked back at the house, which I had never looked at it from that point of view. This is like 40 years later. And suddenly there was the A-frame home, exact shape as when I was a kid, but three times as big. So sometimes we have to wait. I'm learning to manifest sooner. And we were so poor then, I didn't even have dinner. I don't know how I could have got that home. But I did get that home eventually. Isn't that amazing?
Mila, that is absolutely amazing. That goes to what we're talking about today, not giving up on the things that we believe in. And I tell everybody this, we all have that superpower to believe. We all have that superpower in us to keep that dream alive. And a lot of times, and I gave the analogy about the potato chip, and a lot of times, Mila, we think if it doesn't happen right then it won't happen at all. And that is not the case. That is not the status quo. That is not the normal. Let me help you out. The anomaly is if you believe it's going to happen and it doesn't happen, that's the anomaly. But believing that it's going to happen and it happens, that is the real status quo. The real status quo is that not that you're putting in the effort, you put in the work, and something good doesn't happen. The anomaly is if you put all that and nothing happens. Because if you put in your effort, you put your whole self into it, something will happen. It's just like this, Mila. It's just like, Mila, this right here. It's just like this. This person is putting everything they have into this. They're putting everything they have into it. And we don't know what they're thinking until that pen hits the pad. We don't know what's on their mind until the pen hits the pad. It may seem like nothing is going to happen, but when the pen hits the pad, baby, something is going to happen. You put everything you have into it, and something is going to happen. Mila, I gotta say this. We're talking about a pen and a pad. Your grandmother, she was this great speaker and this writer, and she helped put things together in Congress using a pen and a pad. We do things now, Mila, because your grandmother helped to impact things with a pen and a pad. She was a woman during a time when they told her to be quiet, when women shouldn't talk, but she did it she began with a pen and a pad. There were countries that you mentioned that women didn't even have the right to vote in. They could cook, they could clean, they could bear children, but they couldn't say anything in politics. But things began to change, Mila, and it all started and began with a pen and a pad. This right here is a pen. It's a ballpoint pen. Let me get in the cameras. This is the ballpoint pen, and this is my pad right here. This is my pad. And guys, let me give you a little history. I'm going to give you guys a little history. Both the pen and the pad are very simple in design. They are. If you look at the pen, look at the pad, they're both very simple in design. Right there, very simple in design. They do what they do. They do what they're designed to do. They're very simple in design, but their ability to transform a life is immeasurable. When that pen hits that pad, it can change your life. It's just immeasurable what it can do. Some of the greatest stories ever been told or seen on a movie began with a pen and a pad. And I know I'm dating myself because now we use computers and laptops, but it all began with a pen and a pad. Laws that impact all of us begin with a pen and a pad. The way your house is designed, the stairs, the windows, the walls, the floors, the closets, it all began with someone picking up a pen and a pad. The car that we drive, the clothes we wear, the shoes on your feet, the glasses on my eyes, all began with a pen and a pad. Have you ever thought, let me ask you guys this question, everybody that's listening, have you ever thought about how something as simple as writing or writing something down can change your life? Have you ever thought about that, guys? And it all starts and begins, Mila, with a pen and a pad. Did you ever think that a pen and a pad would make such difference in your life?
Well, I've always loved stationery stores, and I always have lots of pads, and I have tons of notebooks around that I take notes of any class I take, and I have almost every play. Behind me, you would see 60 plays and musicals that I wrote.
Wow!
And they I'm a prolific writer, and all my books. And so they all started with a notepad, and then I saved all the notepads, all of them, because I'm just to make sure I people knew I wrote them. And so almost every notepad only goes in about 30 pages and then stops, because each one is a different play or musical or book. But guess what? In Harvard, they did a study and they found out if the people put their pen on their paper and write it instead of on the computer, they retain the information
they
better.
They retain it more. That's right.
Yeah, and they've outlawed computers in many, many of the university classrooms. And when I usually type, because I have to type a lot, I have to get a lot done. But when I go on vacation, I take a pen and a pad with me.
Ah!
And I write in it. And whenever I stop to write with my hand, when I'm writing a novel, more characters come in with deeper thoughts and deeper situations. And sometimes I go to the pen and pad just on purpose to get a character developed, because I write nonfiction and fiction, and I write business books. I write everything, but when you put that pen on that paper, it goes into your subconscious, and some other things come out. And also, people think, oh, do I have to write at the perfect time of day? Well, it's good to do that. But when I am feeling lazy or nap time or a little tired, if I start writing, then that also brings forth some deep things that I wouldn't have thought of before, you know. And so Minnie Pearl said there's not the perfect time. I don't know what she said, but there was Toni Morrison, the great novelist. She said that she wrote her first novel in 15 minutes a day, because that's all the time she had between raising children and work. So I'm saying, I have a mentor. I go to Comic-Con all the time in San Diego, and I've had a mentor for 8 years. This was all before COVID, but he would say that he wrote from 8 to noon every day, which is more than most of us can do. And that's what Isaac Asimov did. He didn't say that, but I knew that.
Yeah.
And so but you know what he said? Now, here's the secret. And it was really cool. He said, just write brand new stuff during your dedicated writing time. And you're not allowed to edit or research, which I will hide behind. So so you have to do all new writing. So let's say you're doing 20 minutes a day, all new writing. Then the rest of the day, you can do all the fun stuff that you want to do. So I kind of thought that was a good. Now, my big secret about writing, now this is the biggest secret there is, just start.
Yep, that's it. Man, listen, that part right there, Mila, just start. And I brought that up, and I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times, Mila, we think that we have to be perfect to start. Let me help you out. There is no perfect. The reason, I watched someone do a commercial once. I watched someone do a commercial, and they were creating this commercial. And when they was doing this commercial, I said, why does a commercial have so many moving parts and moving pieces to it? Why does it have a director? Why does it have a writer? Why does it have a producer? Why does it have a crew? And someone told me, the reason there is a director, the reason there is a writer, is because things don't always go as planned. So you get a chance to redo it. You get to do the scene over. Let me help you out. For those of us who've been waiting to start whatever I dream is, whatever it is you're looking to start, whatever it is you're believing to do for yourself, and you're waiting and say, it needs to be perfect. Life needs to be perfect for me. You don't have for it to be perfect. But see, here's the thing. If it doesn't go right the first couple of times, the first three or four or five times, eight times or whatever, you or the director. You get to say cut, redo the scene. You get to say scene over. Just because it doesn't look right the first time doesn't mean you throw the whole commercial away. You are the director. You get to do the scene over. I don't know who's listening right now, Mila, that's saying, I tried it and it didn't work. I tried it and it didn't go out the way I wanted to. Let me help you out. Don't stop. Don't quit. Stop. Keep going. You are the one who gets to call the shots. You get to do the scene over. It may not look the way you thought it should at first, but you are the one who get to do the scene over. Now, Mila, everyone has a journey. Everyone has a journey, and everyone has a story, Mila. Yes. Your story wasn't always a bestseller. Now, I know your books are bestsellers, but your story, your life story, hasn't always been a bestseller. The story of your life wasn't always a good read. Yeah, it wasn't always one someone wanted to tell about or talk about. It wasn't always a good read or one someone liked to speak to. What were some of the early initial personal challenges that you faced, and how did you handle those and overcome them, Mila?
Well, I grew up very, very poor. My mother was a single mother, and she would leave at like 6 or 5 a.m. to go teach 45 minutes away. And she plopped us into a house in the middle of a neighborhood in gangland, believe it or not. I mean, I don't look like someone who grew up in gangland, right? But I did, and my brother was younger, and so I became the Cinderella of the household, and that's why I do my anthology, The Cinderella Monologues. I had to get up, get breakfast, get us out the door. We walked a mile or two to school, and then we're down in LA, you know, on the outskirts, Ontario. And so then we would come home, and I would clean the house and make dinner and do all the housework, and then even clean things outside, because my mother didn't believe that boys should do housework. So all he had to do was a half hour a week. He only had to mow the lawn, the little tiny track home lawn, and take out the trash. That's a half hour a week. And I think it ruined him. And he ended up in gangs. I ended up just doing the housework and, you know, hanging out with probably some of the wrong people. But because I was tall, I was very fortunate, very tall, no one would date me. And in a way, I know that was really a good thing in high school. So my brother didn't make it out. He died in the street later. But because of my grandmother, and I was with her all the time, and I went to college and I married. See, I didn't even have dinner when I was young. And I'd go to school and I wouldn't have lunch. I would watch all the other kids eat the sack lunches in front of me. They didn't give lunches at school when I was young, at my school anyway. And so anyway, I grew up that way, but I was always happy. I was always kind of who I am, and I believed everything was going to be wonderful for me. And so when I got older in college, I met an organic farmer, and I married him, and I've had all the food I ever want. And we give 10,000, 20,000 pounds of citrus away to the food banks every year. And when I first got to the ranch, I said, oh my gosh, there's all this food here. We have to give some of it away. And my husband said, oh, no, no, no. We don't give anything away. We sell it, because his family had come out of the Depression and they were like that. But I soon reformed him. And now we give away 20,000 pounds. And I never went hungry again. And it was citrus, because when I was young, the only thing that would quench my thirst was Tang. You know, that powder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember Tang. Yeah.
But now I had all the oranges. Now I have outside. I have boxes of them now. All the oranges I've ever wanted.
You know, sorry for the loss of your brother, Mila. I really am. But that goes to show to what we're talking about today, a pen and a pad. It can transform and change our lives if we allow it. There are things that each of us have. Each of us have something special. He was your brother. And everybody is born with something special. And if we don't utilize it, if we don't utilize it, it gathers dust. It gathers dust, and it's there. It's not that one person is more gifted or talented than the other. So get that out your head. It's not that You should be jealous of this individual or that individual. Baby, when everybody is born, they're all born on the same level. What are you going to do with what you have been given? You have 10 fingers, and if you weren't born with fingers, you were born with toes. If you weren't born with toes, you were born with elbows. You were born with something. You got something that somebody else doesn't have. Well, Travis, I was born, and I don't have the ability to speak. You still have something that somebody else does not have. What is your pen and your pad? Because everybody has that something that can change their life, that can impact the world, that can really leave their mark. Did any of these obstacles begin to impact the way that you felt about who you were and what you believed you wanted to be in life?
Well, I was very shy when I was young, and I probably was bullied a little bit. You know what? I was always the odd man out. I was super odd. But what I realized now as I got older is like, okay, that's not as cool in grade school or high school, right? Even though I was pretty popular in high school. But when that was more like with the not the cheerleaders or anybody. It was the other
cheerleaders. Say not the cheerleaders.
Yeah. So anyway, and we were bad. We made fun of them. Anyway, but what happened was when I got to college, I found out that people almost want you to be different. And then the odd people stick out. And the people who were really good and, you know, popular in high school, they always weren't later. I mean, and what happened was, I became odd. I was so much like my grandmother. When I was 18, I would say, I'm going to make a great old lady because I'm already eccentric, because I knew her so well and I loved what she was. And so I was just the odd man out. But as I got in college and then later in life and now, it really serves me. I was so shy in high school. I would hardly talk to anyone unless they were my friends. I go, oh, yeah, you know, I'd answer a question like that. But I mean, yeah, I'm a public speaker and I'm out there like crazy. But I think it all started in college when you found out you didn't have to do all those things that you were told to do, all the classes, you got to make your choices. And then I met some really good friends and I became out there. And then it was like the person who's out there more is wanted. So I think, you know, a lot of times it serves us that we weren't the popular ones in grade school or misunderstood, because we have something to think about. I mean, think about Einstein. You know, they thought he had ADD and all these things. And how would you train a man like Einstein for what he was going to tell us and invent later? There's no training because it hadn't existed yet.
Mm. Exactly. Imagine that. Okay. So
Wait. I want to say one more thing about that. I've taught thousands of children, all the plays behind me, we would do this huge thing. I was a missionary for 38 years. I ran this huge theater company and a huge theater with lights, costumes, everything for kids. We put them on stage. And what I found out, and this was something I saw this on Facebook today, every kid I've ever met is a genius. And every person I've ever met, it just some of us use it and some of us don't.
Say that last part again, Mila.
Every single person on the planet is a genius. It's just some of us use it and some of us don't. I believe that with all my heart.
A pen and a pad. Everyone has one. But what are you going to do with it? Everyone has the potential. Everyone has the potential to do something. What are you going to do with your pen and your pad? Okay, Mila. Okay, so fast forward some years and turn some pages in this pad, and you have some amazing bestsellers like the 101 Theater Games, From Cowgirl to Congress. Yep, those right there. And of course, The Cinderella Chronicles. Yep, you got those right there. All right. Explain, let me see if I can get a better picture of those. There you go. Better picture. And where's your grandmother?
My grandmother is but all three women, we did a thing where we made her all the different colors, the same person.
Oh, wow. So that's grandma.
Yeah, that's when she put together the Pulitzer School of Journalism. So that was her picture.
That's cool. And we got this one right here, the Cinderella monologues.
Where other women get to tell their stories.
Oh, that's a good, sounds like a great one. Okay, so fast forward. You have these bestseller books. You grew up in gangland. You suffer some tragedy, loss of your brother, and your grandmother decides to rescue you. And I love this. Thank you, God. I love this. So your grandmother decided to rescue you with a pen and a pad. She rescued you with a pen and a pad. A quick public service announcement here, guys. What has rescued you? What has been your rescue? And some people say, well, it was Mila, it was her pen and a pad. For some other people, they say, well, it might be your podcast, it might be your writing, it might be your movies, it might be exercising, it might be singing, it might be a hobby, it might be beading, it might be drawing. Whatever is your rescue, that's your pen and your pad. What has rescued you? It might be gardening. It might be volunteering at a local shelter. It might be mentoring younger boys and girls. It might be adopting someone from a foster childhood. But what has been your rescue? I'm gonna stop because I keep going. Explain how writing these books helped change your life and the way you began to view yourself. You said, man, I was shy. I was kind of reluctant. I would talk like this and hold my head down. So explain how having these bestsellers, how they rescued you. They rescued you, Mila. They rescued you. And I think they changed your life.
Writing gives you power. And then you produce something, like you said. You start with a pen and paper and you end up with a house. And you start with pen and paper and you end up with a book. And so it's amazing because you can create the world. You can create your own worlds. You know, people who do science fiction, they're doing world building. And so we all have the power to write a book and to change everything and to tell our story. And often by telling your story, you're healing as well. I'm writing the Cinderella Monologues came because I thought I'm going to write a book called The Cinderella Monologues about my life. And I was a little bit in foster care. I was in gangland. I was, you know, and then I went to college and what saved me. And so I wanted to tell that whole story. And so I was going to call it The Cinderella Monologues, but then I realized it was other women's stories too. So now we're going on our third edition, looking for people who want to be in it. And people telling the story have told me that it has saved them, and it has let them tell their story, get it out. Even some of their family members have read it who were involved or didn't know what had happened to them, you know, and a lot of the stories are positive. A lot of them are, you know, there's some, it was rape and incest and all kinds of things. And so it's wonderful. And for me, now that I have like 12, 14 books out, I'm a published author, and I'm helping other people write and publish their books because I love to pass on the power. I love to help people know that they can do it. It's not as difficult as they think, especially with self-publishing on Amazon's become super easy. So books have given me a lot of power. It's given me a voice, and it's given me a place to really tell my story, tell other stories, inspire people. I've written some historical novels. I've written a religious novel. And I've written a cookbook. I'm sort of a Jill book of many trades, you know. And so there a lot of people say, well, we need to pick one genre to write in, but you don't. You can write all kinds of things. And here's the secret. The more books you put on Amazon, the more it builds your algorithm. So books beget books. So I'm helping people do that. You know, or here's one more thing. I think you're going to ask me about the short book next, or should I talk about that? What do you want me
to do? Go ahead. Dive into it.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Everybody could write, the shortest book you can put on Amazon with a spine is 36 pages. And everybody, anybody could write a 36-page book about what they know in a day or two, work on it and get it edited and put it up in a week or two. So now you've got your little flag, which I did with my book, 101 Surprising Tips. And so what happened was I went and I spoke on all these summits because when COVID hit, I thought I was going to be speaking in Colorado, where she grew up, and Washington, D.C., where she worked, and around here in Northern California. But COVID hit the month the book came out. And so I had to reinvent myself. I took all these classes. I started speaking around the world. I had no idea I'd be able to do that. India and Spain and England. And so what happened was I started giving this book away because, you know, all podcasts and summits want a book. And so I had it as a PDF. And I wrote it in a day or two in one of my classes, Write Your Short Book in a Day. And then I gave away 5,000. I garnered 5,000 emails before I printed the book. Now I've printed it and you can buy it on Amazon. And I'm probably giving it away today. I can't remember what I'm giving away. But anyway, so the idea is that anybody can write a 36-page book in a day or two, get it up. But now, behind me are all my plays. And they were all long. And I realized most schools and theater companies didn't have time to rehearse an hour and a half, 2-hour play. So I put them down to medium and short, and they were just as good. So I'm going backwards with the short book. You write the short book, and then Travis, you use it for the outline for your longer book. Then you write your comfortable 120 to 135 page book, which most people are doing. Then you use that for the outline, fill in, and because I write in shells, you know, and then I fill it all in.
Right.
Then you write your 200-page, 250-page book, because we're not doing Mishner anymore. We're not doing 500-page books anymore. So you have three books. And if you do it, even split it up a little more, you can get 4 or 5 books out of those books. And then I'm taking her book, and I'm putting it 300 pages into 4 shorter books about her little life things that happened in different
places.
So you can get a lot of books out of one book is what I'm teaching, the modular method, besides write your short book first, because most people, when they write the short book, guess what? That's going to be the only book they write. But
only
now,
book they write.
Yeah.
Wow. I told you guys this was going to be a great and a phenomenal episode. Mila, so let me take this. So you talked about the short book and how to get started. When she's talking about the short book, guys, she's talking about ways to get started, to just get started. And we talked about that. We mentioned that earlier, ways to just get started. If you never get started, you will never know how you will finish. Let me say it again. If you never get started, you will never know how you will finish. Mila, you found your pen and pad, and it rescued you. You found your pen and pad. This is a ballpoint pen. This is the ballpoint pen right there. And guys, let me give you a little history, and it's going to tie in. I'm going to tie it into what we're talking about. We won't be long. Won't be long. The modern ballpoint pen, this thing right here, the modern ballpoint pen. And in case some of you probably do know, some of you may not know, but the modern ballpoint pen, as we know it today, was introduced in 1944. Now, I want you to think about the historical context of this. During 1944, what was happening around the world? It was a World War II.
Yes.
So it was a chaotic time that was happening around the world. This right here was introduced. The modern ballpoint pen was introduced during a chaotic time. Not a time where everybody was at peace. Not a time where everybody was in lovey-dovey. Not a time where everyone trusted everyone. Not a time that you think something as simple as this would be. Someone would be thinking about creating something as simple as this during those times. You would think, man, you got bigger fish to fry than to think about creating a ballpoint pen. You should have other things on your mind than something as this. Why in the world would you ever be thinking about a ballpoint pen when there are other things that are going on major in your life? Why would you think about recreating? Why would you think about improving on? Why would you think about inventing? Why in the world would your mind be on creating something when it's chaos everywhere? The modern ballpoint pen, as we know it today, was introduced in 1944. It was invented by a Hungarian journalist and his brother, a dentist. Now, get this. One is a writer, one is a dentist. Yeah, that far. Yeah, right. That far apart. A writer, a journalist, and a dentist helped put together this modern ballpoint pen that you see here that we use every day in our office, at work, or wherever we use this ballpoint pen. And it came about at a time where there was complete and utter chaos. Sometimes the most chaotic moments can create the most amazing things. Sometimes the most chaotic moments can create the most simplistic and revolutionary things. There were already ballpoint pens before the modern ballpoint pen. But however, they developed a special ink that could be used with a ballpoint pen, making it more reliable and convenient than previous designs. What I'm trying to say is things may look chaotic. Things may actually be chaotic, but you have the potential. We all have the potential to create something that will revolutionize what people are trying to do. You have the potential to revolutionize your neighborhood, revolutionize your community, revolutionize the way people think. Listen, it may be chaotic inside of you. You may be trying to find a peaceful thought, but in the midst of everything that's going on in your mind, there is something that you can do. In the midst of all the chaos, there's something that you can do. In the midst of the distrust, there's something that you can do. In the middle of you second guessing yourself, there's something that you can do. In the middle of you second guessing your future and who you can be, there's something that you can do. It was a dentist and a journalist, and they didn't even realize what they were doing, but when they came together, they created something and literally left their mark in history.
Wow. Good story.
Literally. Leave. And think about this, guys. Every time you pick up a piece of paper and a pen and you write something down, you're leaving a mark. You're leaving a mark. What do you have that you can leave your mark? So, Mila, I got to ask you, what do you feel, and we touched on this briefly earlier, what do you feel sometimes maybe one of the largest obstacles that hold people back from just starting? You said, Travis, man, I grew up in gangland. There's gangs everywhere, bro. I mean, we didn't have the food to eat. We was in poverty. I needed Tang. I mean, I'm dependent on a powdered drink that somebody else came up in the laboratory. Bro, can you help me out? What is it? What do you think, Mila, that you believe? Because you had every opportunity to stop. You had every opportunity to quit. You could have turned around and said, nope, not me. I'm not going to do it. Grandma, I appreciate you. But hey, but you didn't have to take that mentorship that she provided you and continue it. You didn't, and that just shows proof. Sometimes you're going to need some help. Yeah, let me go ahead and throw that out there. Sometimes you're going to need some help. To go to the next place you're going to go to, sometimes you're going to need some help. What do you feel sometimes may be one of the largest obstacles that hold people back from just starting?
I think here's what it is. I think they think they need 2 hours, you know, or they need more hours. My husband used to be a painter, but he doesn't want to paint now unless he gets like 5 hours, you know, so he doesn't paint. And so the thing is that you need 5 minutes. And, you know, Barbara Kingsolver said, give yourself permission to write a bad book and then work on it till it's a good book. And so you want to blather as fast as you can, which you were speaking about before. And so you want to just give the time you have, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, that's fine. Because, you know, I go to the gym a lot, and some days I only have 20 minutes. So I walk into my full clothes, maybe I have even a blazer on and maybe not the right shoes, but I get on the treadmill 20 minutes and I walk out because everybody thinks, well, I can't go to the gym because I need 2 hours, you know.
Right.
So I think the main thing is to just start, give yourself 5 minutes a day. Maybe it will turn into longer. And maybe it's right before you go to sleep at night, maybe when it's first wake up and you're fresh. I mean, if you're like me, I'm a lark, I'm fresh. And then another thing I want to talk about really quick, because you were talking about maybe starting the book, right? So yeah. When I do the write your short book in a day, what I do is I have everyone write a bullet list. And it can just be little words like the day we went to the beach, the turkey sandwich, the waves were cold, just a thing. And then later on, you'll go through and uh-huh. those will be your chapters. And so instead of an outline, la, 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 all these outliners, I've always been a pantser till lately. Now I'm a little more of an outliner with this. So I make this bullet list and I have everyone do that. 10 to 20 things that you want to make sure you talk about. It's about your business, you know. And then sometimes some of the books I've done, because I've done quite a few in these classes, the names come to me. When I did my dog book, Dogs Are Funny, so all the names came, you know, it's like Houdini dog. Sneaky dog. You know, and so, and can dogs really speak, you know, and things like that. So that the chapters just came, but other times I'll just do a bullet list, just like a talk. You do that right. As a talk, and everything you want to make sure you say or you want to write about, and you can switch it around. You can add things in, subtract, but now you've got this outline to start with. And here's the secret. Then you pick the easiest one to write. I think it's going to be short chapters. They're going to be a page or a page and a half because we're doing a 36 page book. Or if it's a longer book, that's fine. So then you write the easiest chapter first. You don't start at the beginning. That's another thing. People have a block that they need to start at the beginning.
Just start.
Many books I've written the last chapter first. Because same here.
Right.
And then you know where you're going. It's really cool. So the main thing is pick that easiest chapter. Like, oh, I could whip out the part about the turkey sandwich because it was cool. And so you write that first. And then you pick the next easiest one. Then the next one, pretty soon you're like, I can do this. I've got three chapters done. And they're 5, 10. And then maybe we go back to 1. But don't feel any blocks. There's no rules. This is the big thing. We have editors for grammar. There are no rules. No rules.
Guys, what?
Except for the start.
I don't know if you guys caught what Mila was saying. Mila said, just start. There is no perfect place to begin. Just start. A lot of times, Mila, you're right. Whether it's writing a book, writing a song, or doing a chore, a goal around the house, or maybe there's a goal that you have, right? Maybe there's some goal that you have for yourself, for your business, for your relationships. And you say, I need 5 hours to start this, like your husband and his painting.
Yeah.
Or I need 3 hours to start this. Or I need to be able to go to the gym. Let me tell you something. My wife and I go to the gym, and we work out probably 40 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day sometimes. And that's the time that we can commit to that. And it doesn't matter whatever your dream is, you have to be willing to commit some real serious thought and time and effort into it. You have to water your dream with your time, with your effort, and with your energy. It just won't pop up. It won't spring up. You're going to have to pour something into your dream. Now, I know you talk to people and help them writing their books and stuff and just getting started. And the first thing is just helping people get started. That's getting past that mental block of getting started with anything, regardless of what it is. It's getting started. Because before they even start writing a book, they first got to realize, hey, look, just get started. Just get started. Can people meet with you virtually or by phone? Or how can someone contact you?
You can, my email's best. It's my name backwards. JohansonMila@gmail.com. I made a mistake years ago. JohansonMila@gmail.com. Or go to my website, which is MilaJohansson.com. And what happens is I have several people I work with every week. And what we do is they sign up to work with me weekly. So we have our hour. Now, if they're writing, we work on that. If they're, I give them assignments, you know, and then if they're ready to publish, then we work on that. And then when it's time to publish, I have a whole team and we publish the book right for them. I just published 8 books in the last 6 weeks and 4 of them this week.
Wow.
Yeah. This book is fantastic. This woman lost her cat and loved her cat. And I designed this cover for her. And it's funny, entertaining how the cat moved in and took over the whole house, Her Royal Majesty. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what your genre is. I've helped people science fiction books, novel books, business books, cookbooks, a big book. I don't know if you know that TV, The Taste of TV. She wrote a whole book about being, oh, my phone's going off. And she wrote a whole book about she's interviewed all the stars, even Snoop Dogg. And so we put together her book, and she wrote a recipe for each person she interviewed from her Italian family. It's a very, very cute book, and it's called Taste of TV. And anyway, so what I do is wherever you are, I help you. And I probably, no, this is not bragging. I just want to promise you this. I'm a pretty humble person. I probably know more about self-publishing on Amazon than anyone on the planet. There's all these little tricks to get your algorithms up and all these little things you can do. And I'm putting out a book soon called The Bible of Anthology. And it goes
through. I like that.
Yeah. Is that a good title? I'm still struggling with the title. But anyway, so I'm trying to, and then I'm going to make it for individuals. And it goes through every single little blow that you could do. And if you just went through the book like this, you could publish your own book with no effort at all.
See, I told you guys, Mila, I asked this of all of my guests. What is something that you can say to encourage the listeners to get started, whether it's writing a book or with anything? What is something that you would say to encourage listeners to just get started with that dream that, let's say, that they may have been postponing?
Just start. I'd have to say that again. Put your pen on paper, fingers on keyboard. Whatever is easiest for you, and don't chastise yourself in any way for not doing it today or tomorrow. But when you can, sit down and write, and you find out that you'll be addicted to writing, and you'll feel powerful. It will give you such power that you won't believe what you can accomplish in the world. And think about it also in a way as a way to inspire the world and give
back. That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right, man. Mila, we want to tell you thank you so much for joining us today, Mila. Thank you for being here. We're so happy that you took time to join us today, Mila. Mila, don't go nowhere just yet. I'm going to get us out of here. Don't leave me just yet, Mila. All right. Guys, with everything that we talked about here today, you probably thought we were just talking about becoming a writer. I know, even though everyone has a story to tell, not everyone will become a writer. We weren't just talking about a pen and a pad. We were also talking about the unused potential that each of us have within us that has been lying around gathering dust. What do you have at your fingertips? Yeah, what do you have at your fingertips? What do you have that's within your reach? We all may not become a best-selling author, but we all have the potential that will unlock our lives. Go for it. Reach for it. Grab your pen and your pad. Guys, thank you for joining. Each week, you could be streaming with us right here. Each week, every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, to listen to the show. Or the stream, guys, on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, and so many more. We got to get out of here, but it's always imparting. If you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I got to go. Peace.